Right.
Let's speak to Alex Kane this morning and John Tong. John's professor of politics.
Do you want me to stay on or
at
not?
At the University of Liverpool. No, thank you, but thank you for talking to us today. Morning to you, Alex.
Morning, Stephen.
And morning, John.
Morning.
Where does this go, Alex? Are you surprised by Peter Robinson's reaction here? He's fighting to save the Assembly, essentially, isn't he?
Well, he's fighting to save a number of things. I think the first thing to remember, Stephen, and I think I talked to you about this last week, the DUP and I think the NIO did not expect the Ulster Unionist Party to withdraw. I remember speaking shortly after Mike Nesbitt has made his comment that withdrawal would be an option he would consider. I spoke to a very senior member of the DUP who said to me, yeah, that's what he always says, Alex. They're not going to pull out. So it wasn't in their calculation. Then suddenly they're faced with being the only unionists in the Assembly. That's a nightmare for them because it's exactly what forced David Trimble to suspend the Assembly back in 2002 when the DUP walked out of the Assembly at that stage. What Robinson, and we've talked about this before, Stephen, Robinson is looking at his legacy. He does not want to end his political career with the Assembly collapse and with him having been outflanked by the Ulster Unionists. And he doesn't want people saying Peter Robinson and David Trimble in the same breath because they've both reached the same point. So he will do anything, and I mean anything, at this stage. We've even got the suggestion that what he's going to ask the Prime Minister today, he knows that the Prime Minister is not going to exclude Sinn Féin. We all know that's not going to happen. The voting mechanism doesn't exist in the Assembly, partly because the DUP and Sinn Féin managed to get it taken away with the removal of the Suspension Act. What we've now been told is that Peter Robinson may be suggesting to the Prime Minister that they find a little mechanism of allowing the summer recess to continue for another few weeks, meaning that the parties can talk in this intensive talks process, but the executive itself doesn't meet. So Robinson can say, I'm staying on the battlefield to fight this battle, but I'm not meeting in the executive with Sinn Féin.
Well,
that's how bizarre it's become.
Let's just remind us what Nigel Dodds, the deputy leader of the DUP, said when he was setting out the DUP's position last week.
Well, we are already set out our position that we have met the Chief Constable. We'll be having further meeting with the Chief Constable. We're meeting the Secretary of State tomorrow, and we have asked for an urgent meeting with the Prime Minister. And we're putting it up very clearly to them and to other parties that Sinn Féin are clearly in breach of their commitment to peaceful, exclusively peaceful and democratic means. They should be the ones that are punished. They're the ones that should be excluded. And that's where the action should be taken. That's the people who should be punished. Those are the people who should be out of the executive. If they fail to do that, then we're in a different situation and we will take whatever action is necessary at that stage to ensure that the integrity of government in Northern Ireland is preserved and maintained.
So those are the people, John Tong, who should be excluded, according to Nigel Dodds. Sinn Féin should be excluded, is what the DUP have said. So what does the DUP do if Sinn Féin isn't excluded, John? What happens then?
Well, basically, the DUP's got two choices. They walk out themselves or they wait for Teresa Villas to expel Sinn Féin. And I'd be amazed if the Secretary of State does that. So the DUP are in a difficult position because, basically, they're going to have to follow Mike Nesbitt, but with a time lapse. So, you know, you're looking at the DUP walking out within a couple of months. But I think the bigger picture is really whether it's worth keeping the show on the road anyway. Assembly elections aren't that far away anyway, so you could bring them forward. And what exactly has the executive achieved over the last 2 years that it's worth keeping together in its current format? You know, have a look at how many bills the executive have passed over the last couple of years. Hardly any. You know, it's looking like a tin pot assembly compared to, for example, the Scottish Parliament. It's not passing legislation. Have a look at the assembly website this morning. The first thing it will tell you is, and I quote, enjoy sumptuous dining on the Hill. You know, that's what it implores you to do. It's as a functional legislature, it's not been operational for at least 2 years now. So, you know, bring elections on. Not that elections will in themselves solve anything. Might be better than trying to keep this particular phase.
It's a gamble, though, John, isn't it? What Peter Robinson's got to decide is where is the heart and mind of the mass unionist electorate. Do they want the Assembly to survive no matter what, as flawed as it is, or would they prefer direct rule? That's the judgment call he's got to make.
Sure. And if you look at public opinion on the unionist side, and indeed on the nationalist side, there is support in principle for the executive, for the Assembly. People don't want to go back to direct rule, and that's on both sides of the divide. So the support in principle is there, but the support begins to wither when you look at what the Assembly has achieved and when you ask the question, you know, are parties cooperating well within the Assembly? know, who thinks really that the parties have cooperated well in the Assembly over the last couple of years? Very few people, and therein lies the problem. So, in effect, you've got to have a new model of the Assembly, and in one sense, the UUP going into opposition is perhaps something that could revive it. Although quite what they're going in to oppose, given that the executive is hardly passing any legislation at the moment, is unclear.
You've written a book on the DUP, John. What do you think Peter Robinson will do?
I think he'll probably withdraw. If you look at the level, the visceral loathing that is there amongst his own party base of Sinn Féin, then in terms of party management, it's probably the easier option. Now, we asked the question, what do you think of Sinn Féin? And only 2% said they liked or strongly liked Sinn Féin, and they probably misread the questionnaire. 98% of Peter Robinson's party said they either strongly disliked or disliked Sinn Féin, and you know, you don't need any prizes for guessing which of those categories that the bulk of them fell into. The fact is there hasn't been any healing between these two senior partners in government while they've been in office. You would have thought that after years of cooperating together or supposedly cooperating together at the head of Northern Ireland's government that there might have been some thawing. There's actually no evidence of that amongst the chemistry of the leaders themselves, amongst the party members, or indeed the party support basis. So in terms of party management, it's a no-brainer for Peter Robinson. He might as well pull out.
Alex Kane, do you think Robinson will walk?
I think it's almost inevitable, Stephen. I agree with what John says. I think it's as important. I've seen some of the polling he's mentioned there. People are not against an assembly. They're not against devolution. What they are against is the assembly and the executive in its present form. The vast majority of them want to see it tackle the big ticket issues. They want to see it making decisions. It's when you ask them, do you favour what we have now? Do you favour how? That's what they're against. What Peter Robinson has to do, there's three calculations he has to make here, Stephen. The first is, there's a polling exercise going on now, which the DUP will be monitoring. It lasts until Thursday. People across the province have been asked whether they approve or disapprove of what Mike Nesbitt has done. That will have a big play in, because there are elections. John says it could be elections in a few weeks, because there certainly will have to be, unless the whole thing collapses, there certainly will have to be elections within a matter of months. Robinson will have one eye on that. The other thing he needs to do, and if he's going to sell the agreement, if he's going to sell staying in the executive with Sinn Féin, he needs two things. He needs very clear guarantees and evidence from Sinn Féin that there is no, whatever they're saying about whether the IRA exists or not, that Martin McGuinness is able to say to him and prove to him that there has been no liaison between the Sinn Féin ministerial team and the IRA.
Would Martin McGuinness's word be good enough for Peter Robinson?
Robinson, interestingly, when you talked about Robinson and McGuinness privately, even though I think both acknowledge that the relationship between the parties generally is bad. I mean, I remember interviewing Robinson about 18 months or 2 years ago, and he did say to me, he just said, look, this would not have been possible. We could not have got this off the ground had it been any other sinner other than Martin McGuinness. And the other point is worth making here, Stephen, if he wants to stay in the executive, it isn't just getting reassurance on how much or how little, you know, Martin McGuinness and the rest of the Sinn Féin ministerial team know about the IRA and what it's doing. He also has to be able to say, look, actually, Martin, if we're going to make this run, I need something from you on welfare. I need to be able to go to the electorate. We need to go to a joint conference together and be able to say to the people of Northern Ireland, we're sorry the Ulster Unionists have left. We are staying in government. We have reached a resolution on welfare. We have reached a resolution on rebooting and kickstarting the Stormont House Agreement. We will continue for the next 6 months to make progress here. If he can't do that, there's no point patching up some former words from the Chief Constable or the Prime Minister and saying, oh, well, no, we're willing to take Sinn Féin on the word. And then me turn around and say, that's fine, Peter. What about welfare? Oh, well, we haven't resolved that yet, so what we can't actually do anything.
How sure-footed do you think the Ulster Unionist Party have sounded, Alex, since they made this announcement that they were pulling out? Danny Kinahan was the first Ulster Unionist to appear on the Nolan Show. He said something along the lines of, let's let this play out and see if Sinn Féin does have any links.
I'm going to be brutal with the Danny Kinahan thing and say that it was a car crash interview for all sorts of reasons, Stephen. It was because it wasn't quite clear. People were phoning me and saying, what the hell is the Ulster Unionist position here? Two things should have been done there, Stephen. Well, I've written about this. Yes, I've known for some time that the Ulster Unionists are very unhappy with the executive, with how it's functioning, with the abuse being heaped on Danny Kennedy and so on. That wasn't clear. It made it look as though their whole position and policy in terms of the executive was based on this one McGuigan-linked murder. Yes, there's a moral principle there, but Nesbitt should also have made the much stronger point in some way. The executive is not working and saying, it's my belief, because it's one, it is worth bearing in mind this. What Nesbitt has done, whether he did it deliberately or not, he's actually focused huge attention on the executive. It's not just the trust between Sinn Féin and unionism on whether the IRA exists. It's simply, and I've said this to you on so many occasions, Stephen, it just seems to me that there is no trust whatsoever at all between the parties. And if you can't have that trust, you can't have it on whether the IRA exists, you can't have it on welfare, you can't have it on parades, you can't have it on the past, if you can't have it in the Stormont House Agreement, then you come back to the key question in all of this. Is it actually worth keeping the Assembly going?
John Tong, who's more uncomfortable this morning, in your view, Peter Robinson or Mike Nesbitt?
Oh, Peter Robinson's the more uncomfortable this morning. Mike Nesbitt has made his decision. He can't go back on that. And Mike Nesbitt got the full support of his party at the weekend. As they say, I'm not clear what Mike Nesbitt's going to do in opposition, because there isn't that much to oppose, given the current impasse on the Hill at present. But I think there's no doubt that Peter Robinson has the more difficult decision to make, and that's why the DUP are trying to pass this on to the Secretary of State, hoping that the Secretary of State will exclude Sinn Féin.
I know.
But there's no mileage in that. The Secretary of State is not going to exclude Sinn Féin, partly because Sinn Féin have a strong mandate, as you've indicated. Secondly, that would collapse the thing. If anything that's sure to collapse, it's the expulsion of Sinn Féin.
Sinn Féin
will howl with protest if that is done, and there isn't really any clear rationale for doing that. If we're honest, I mean, we can talk about the threat from the provisional IRA, and it's no comfort to the family of Kevin McGuigan, but the real threat is beyond PIRA. I also think, what more can Sinn Féin say in one respect? Because Martin McGuinness was very quick off the mark on his Twitter account to say, look, these people who killed Kevin McGuigan are criminals. Gerry Adams was admittedly slower to follow. What more can Sinn Féin do? Yes, they could appear alongside Peter Robinson and say, look, we utterly denounce the killing and the killers of Kevin McGuigan, but that's not going to play particularly well with the DUP support base if Robinson appears alongside McGuinness while that is done. So
what's the likelihood, Alex Keane, of Republicans having their licences revoked, being put back into jail?
I think that's very unlikely. And I mean, I have had some unionists saying, that would be a way forward. And I just don't see that happening. John's point here is right, Stephen, and it's a point we have to accept, that if you come down, I know this sounds a ridiculous position to say because we're talking about democracy. Cameron will be aware, as will Enda Kenny in the Irish government, if they are seen to come down too hard on Sinn Féin, if they're seen to be siding with unionism at a time when Sinn Féin leadership is saying, this is not the case, the IRA have gone away, we are committed to peace, we're working towards peace. If the two governments are seen to come in against them, revoke licences, try to go some sort of, maybe not exclusion from the Assembly, but put some limitations on it, or even suspend the executive for a while, then yeah, Sinn Féin will simply walk. And as your senior source said, and I've been talking to Sinn Féin sources myself, if this Assembly and this executive comes down because Sinn Féin believe they have been badly done by, forget the whole moral side, forget the whole political side, who said this, who said that, that guy who told you is right, Stephen. It will not come back in the next 5 to 10 years because there will be no trust at any level. And what McGuinness will be getting will be the dissidents who are growing. Look at the position of the security levels, threat levels, now compared to even 10 years ago. There will be people whispering in Martin McGuinness's ear, whispering in Sinn Féin MLA's ears. And where's this got us, guys?
The other thing,
United Ireland, there's no anything for us. What have we got out of this?
The other thing, and you've heard me bang on about it in interviews I've been doing, Alex, the other thing this does is it shines a light on the approach of the unionist parties to the loyalist political wings of paramilitaries. It gives people like me and other broadcasters and newspaper journalists an opportunity to write and talk about the approach from the unionist political parties to the loyalist political wings of paramilitaries, doesn't it?
It does, Stephen. I'm with you in that. I remember you. It's no secret to your listener and or to John either that I worked for the Ulster Unionist Party. I'm a former director of communications of the Ulster Unionist Party. And at the time when the Ulster Unionist Party was talking about reaching some sort of internal assembly deal with the PUP, which would have brought David Irvine on board, increased their numbers by one and given them the right to a second ministry, I said publicly, very publicly, even though I was an employee of the Ulster Unionist Party, I said, this is hypocritical. This is wrong. This, whatever you think about David Irvine personally, I had huge personal regard for David, The PUP is linked to an organisation which in most people's eyes remains armed and active. I think, and that's, it's, those who have followed my writing over the past few years will know that one of my concerns at the time of the Unionist Forum in 2013 was that if you have organisations like the UPRG, like the PUP, who will say they have, they're trying to help, you know, they're trying to create links and bring former paramilitaries into the democratic process and so on, that's fine, but you can't turn around as a unionist and then say, if there are other paramilitary organisations on the Republican side, oh, well, your paramilitaries are worse than our paramilitaries. There is a huge moral question which faces both Sinn Féin and the unionist parties. We have to work. It's a big question, Stephen. We have to work out how do we deal with people who maybe spent 30, 40 years of their lives in a paramilitary organisation.
Alex, thank you. Thank you very much. John Tong, nice to talk to you as well. Winston Irvine has just tweeted me from the PUP. Let me remind you, Stephen, says Winston Irvine, the PUP are completely committed to fully peaceful and democratic means. It's a statement of fact, says Mr. Irvine.